This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the best of the Eagles.
And the Eagles win! The Eagles win!
A weekly mix of Sports Radio 94 WIP's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, let's talk to Big Red. John, your former coach. I mean, first time on our program here.
Legendary.
Legendary coach. There's
coach.
No question.
So Andy Reid. Wow.
14 years with the Eagles, 12 years with the Chiefs, 26 years as a head coach in pro football. He obviously, I mean, look, you guys know the deal. I don't have to tell you the resume, but I'll tell you this. He's coached in five of the last six Super Bowls. Think about that. The man has coached in five of the last six. He has won.
It doesn't get better.
He has won three, obviously, and had a tremendous run with the Eagles and an even better run with the Kansas City Chiefs. But most important, we all know the two most important things Andy Reid ever did. Number one was signing John Ritchie 22 years ago. Because without that, Ritchie...
That was 22 years ago?
03, man.
Oh, come on.
Without that, I'm not saddled with John Ritchie next to me as a talk show host. But and the other... drafting Brandon Graham. And we honored the great BG on Monday with BG Day. And Andy, kind enough to carve out a few minutes to talk about Brandon Graham, who he drafted 15 years ago. The coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. Good to talk to you guys. John, man, it's been a little bit, but I sure appreciate you.
I love and miss you, respect you so much, Coach. And once upon a time, you held my son, Joe, at an event where we were sitting at a table with the NFC Championship trophy added. It was a luncheon. And I thought at that moment, this is something I need to take a picture in my brain because Andy Reid, the legend, is holding my son. That son, man, that was the year he went to the Super Bowl in Jacksonville.
How about that? How's he doing?
That little boy, he wants to be a neurosurgeon. He's at the University of Michigan, and he always talks about the fact that you held him at that table. You are the man who held my son, inspired him as a six-month-old somehow, Coach. So,
well,
tell him this.
Finish up his internship or whatever he's doing right now.
Yeah.
And then... When the NFL has fried my brain, I'm coming to him so he can rehear.
I'll let him know. I know. I'm in that line as well.
That's so good. You know, Andy, we got so much Brandon Graham stuff, obviously, to do with you today, and we really appreciate you, you know, honoring Brandon, essentially what you're doing here, honoring Brandon's career. But I just want to start with you, with Richie. I mean, can you imagine all those years ago that John Richie becomes a talk show host on WIP? What the heck?
Well, now, listen, he's the smartest guy probably ever coached, and at the same time being dirty tough, and so that position that he played, that was a no grace position where you were getting the dog, you're beating the dog out of somebody, but at the same time you're waking up the next morning very sore.
That's for sure.
He wakes up early.
I appreciate that. Coach appreciated that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it changed your life, John. Because, John, all jokes aside, I was sort of kidding earlier, but it's real. You probably would not be a WIP talk show host today if you didn't have those 2 years in Philly.
No, absolutely
if
not.
If Andy hadn't signed you.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, it was a dream come true, and Coach put me in a limo to Mechanicsburg after I signed. He said, hey, why don't you go tell your folks in person? And I mean, that was not part of the plan.
That's cool,
it
man.
It was Coach Reed saying, hey, do the family thing.
Great.
And it was so wonderful. And that's the touch that he puts on all of this. And that's why it's so cool to talk about Brandon with you today, Coach.
Yeah, let's do that, Andy. So, BG, you brought him to town 15 years ago, and we'll kind of go through a few elements of it. Let's just start with the pre-draft evaluation of Brandon. What do you remember all those years ago when you were scouting Michigan's Brandon Graham? What enticed you to select him?
Yeah, first of all, I love Michigan players, and he was one of them, as was John at one time. So this guy was extremely quick, extremely strong, a great kid, and was just somebody in a position of need at that time. And for him to come in and do the things that he's done has just been spectacular. To play this long at that grunt position, man, that's a tough, tough position to play, and to do it for all these years is something. Everybody, you know, he had this thing, his arms were too short, or he wasn't tall enough or long enough, you know, whatever the terms are that we all put on players and destroy great ones, you know, with. So he didn't have the longest arms. He wasn't the tallest or longest guy, but he played with a big heart and played every snap. You're going to get an honest down from him. He has great athletic ability.
Coach, how rare is Brandon Graham's enthusiasm? I mean, that energy that he brought every day, how often do you see that in a guy?
No, you love that. And it was that way when he was young, and he carried that through when he was old. And sometimes guys kind of lose that stinger there as they age up, but he never lost that. And I was lucky enough to play against him or have our team play against him the last couple Super Bowls here. what a great, you know, he still had that energy. And I, at the Super Bowls, you get to see the guys. You have different events that you have to go to as teams, and you're there together. And just to see him, and, you know, he about broke my ribs with a big hug. So he's just if you can get me off the ground with a hug, you've done good. And he did that. So
he's got, he can dig deep like that. That is something.
Yeah.
But you're slender now. I mean, we all see that. So that is interesting. When you talk about preparing for playing against Brandon, you're one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the game. What extra stuff do you sprinkle on top when you're coaching a Kansas City offensive lineman to prepare to block Brandon Graham, having drafted and coached him for those 3 years?
Yeah, first of all, you got to know where he's at. And then wherever he's at, you got to make sure you have that extra guy there, whether it's an offensive lineman working to him, an extra offensive lineman working to him, or a back chipping him, or a tight end chipping him. But you got to know where he's at all times. And you got to do it for four quarters.
Yeah.
Andy Reid with us here on WIP, of course, talking about BG. It's BG Day on Monday. Andy carving out some time right now for Brandon, obviously, to honor him. So, you know, Andy, one of the things that, and you know, was such a talking point when you brought him in 15 years ago was the fan base expected Earl Thomas, when you moved up, that was going to be an Earl Thomas pick. There was also a safety need at that point, and it ultimately worked out great. By the way, worked out good for Seattle, worked out great for the Eagles. Eagles won two titles. We've always wondered, how close did you come to selecting Earl Thomas? Do you remember? Was it between those two? Because we thought you were going to take Earl. You took BG. How close was that one?
Yeah, Earl was in the picture for sure. We kind of had our eyes set on Brandon. He had a great Senior Bowl, as I recall. And we needed a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
We had gotten spoiled with Hugh Douglas, and you know, we felt like we needed another guy and to fill in there, and Brandon was able to do that for us.
Andy, what did you notice? Because you coached him during the years, he was really struggling. I mean, he got off to a tough start. What did you notice with how he dealt with the struggles, because he turned into an all-time Eagle? I mean, the Eagles maybe they might retire his number. I mean, he's a legendary Eagle, but you got him when he was struggling. There were some injuries. How did you sense he dealt with all that?
Yeah, he fought himself. He had this this young enthusiastic makeup with him, not really immature, but the love of the game and his desire to be great and all those things when he came up against a stiff competition that he had and wasn't used to, you know, and you might play against one of these offensive linemen in a year in the at the college level. Now you come in and you're a high pick here, and you've got to come in and try to win every play. And if you don't, then you're going to have that media come down on you, and it's a tough deal. So I didn't think he handled that great when he was young, but he worked through it, and he fought him. He was fighting himself there, and so that conflict ended up making him even stronger. And as he went on through the, you know, through his career, but he overcame it. A lot of guys don't. They just collapse, fall apart, and they're done with the NFL.
Yeah.
There's a certain stigma that comes with being a high draft pick and expectation level, and sometimes it's not reasonable.
Andy, final thing here. You know, we're going to play this audio for Brandon on Monday when he's with us in studio, but if you could just, you know, whatever you've got from your heart, a message to Brandon to honor him. We're going to play this audio directly for him on Monday upon his retirement. What would you say to BJ?
Yeah, no, listen, I love Brandon Graham. He is one of the all-time greats for the Eagles. And not only was he a great player, but he's a great person. I call him a kid, but I mean, he's past the kid stage now. So he's just a great person. And that part and his work ethic are going to carry him through the second half of his life and career and our new career. And so, but listen, Brandon Graham's he's a great one. Love him.
Andy, we wish you the best.
Coach. You are an unbelievable person, too, and we love you and respect you a lot.
I appreciate you. Love you, my man.
Andy,
keep it rolling.
Thanks. Well, Andy. Our best to you, and maybe a trilogy next year in February. So absolute best of luck to you. Thanks for all you did for the Eagles and Philadelphia sports, and we look forward to catching up with you down the road. Thanks, Andy.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
All right, there he is, the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, who, by the way, obviously someday, but he's got to retire for it to happen.
And why would he?
Eagles Hall of Fame.
Why would he retire?
Philadelphia Sports
point?
Hall of Fame. Pro Football Hall of Fame. None of them can happen until he retires. So we'll see. By the way, he's got a real shot at Shula's record, especially with Belichick going off the rails.
Think of the coaching trees that he has created.
I know.
That he has generated. He is, man.
I hear you, man. All right, great to be with you. On this, what are we at here? A Tuesday. Show to camera, John Ritchie. So the Eagles have a couple days to make a decision. I know what my decision is. What I don't know is what the Eagles' decision will be. Let's find out what John thinks it should be. Twitter poll question of the day. And everyone can weigh in on this one at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly on the phone lines as well at 215-592-9494. Twitter poll is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's certified one-owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, John, do you think the Eagles should pick up Jordan Davis's fifth-year option, which is for the 2026 season? So 25's coming up, meaning that season. But then 2 seasons from now is Jordan Davis's fifth year in pro football, 2026, which the Eagles control if they want to exercise the option for $12.9 million or... if you don't, he becomes a free agent after 2025. I would not pick up the option for $12.9 million, John. Would you?
No. And this is, I can't even believe we're talking about this. When you think about this from a practical perspective, my gosh, I want a defensive tackle who I'm going to pay for that fifth year.
Right.
$13 million to be able to play more than 20 plays.
That's right.
I cannot believe we're sitting here talking about evaluating this when the reality of the situation is they don't trust him to be out there for more than 20-25 plays, and that is consistent. And you know what? That's unfair. I say they don't trust him. That is unfair to say that. They don't put him out there more than 25 plays.
Yeah,
that I've never seen anything like it. And initially it was, oh, he needs to work on his conditioning and stuff. Even when the conditioning is great, it seems, and he's able to give you a very consistent performance It's not many plays.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
$13 million is way too much to pay for a guy that you have to that you're going to have on the field for one down, and you're going to have to pull repeatedly. And the most running he's going to get is on and off the field.
Yeah, exactly.
Personnel grouping wise.
I'll say this: everything you said, John, resonates with me, but I'll frame it a different way. I can't imagine paying Jordan Davis more money than I'm not willing to pay Dallas Goedert. That's what blows my mind. Like, they're talking about removing Dallas Goedert for a similar amount of money, but actually giving Jordan Davis more?
Right.
That don't work for me. That does not work for me at all. Right. All right, look, your chance to weigh in. The Jordan Davis thing, the Dallas Goedert thing, 215-592-9494. What stood out to you from the draft? Also, let's get to Jeffrey Lurie from yesterday, because, of course, the Eagles were honored at the White House yesterday. Everyone's remarks were pretty short. When they would get to the podium, they would, like, just get right to it and then you know, move on. So Lurie's remarks were really no more than about 20 seconds. But let's listen to the Eagles owner. Second time, obviously, they've won a Super Bowl in his tenure. It was cool seeing side. I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of side-by-side freaking Lombardi trophies. First time I think we saw it was Brandon Graham at the podium, although we saw not the actual trophy, but at the parade, you could see the, I don't know if you call it a picture, what would you call it, a graphic, a big display of, you know, an artist rendition of it, I guess you'd call it. But yesterday, both trophies, and I applaud the Eagles for embracing, we've won two.
That's a flex.
It is a flex, right? Because I think a lot of teams would only take the more recent trophy. Yeah. And the Eagles are like, wait a minute, we've won two. By the way, they're both like relatively recently.
Exactly.
So we're taking them both. And I dug that. Let's listen to Jeffrey Lurie. His remarks were short. What he said yesterday at the White House.
Truly an honor to be here. I remember as a little boy, the championship teams that came to the White House, and I never dreamed we'd be able to, you know, have a team and be as good as this. And this was a dominant team with incredible culture, everything we all believe in as the best human values, selflessness, humility, teamwork, talent, discipline, everything that we all strive for, this team incorporated. So thank you for the hospitality today, and go Birds.
There you go. Jeffrey Lurie yesterday. Double-barreled Super Bowl Lombardi trophies right next to him.
Here's what we did. We did our homework. We watched the draft this weekend. A huge Jihad Campbell and Andrew Makuba, the safety, and Ty Robinson and Mac McWilliams and Drew Kendall and Kyle McCourt. Eagles landed a bunch of players who more on the third day of the draft than on the first couple of days of the draft. But Hugh, overall, what'd you think? So we knew Jihad Campbell was Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
I like the safety they took out of Texas on Friday night, Makuba. And then that Ty Robinson defensive tackle out of Nebraska seems like a really interesting player with a lot of skills, maybe get to the quarterback and stop the run. What'd you think overall of what Howie did this weekend?
I think it was a good draft. I think they feel the needs that they had to feel. You know, a lot of people are happy that most of the draft picks were defensive players, which is good. We needed to replenish the ranks. And I think the Eagles did a good job. Give them a grade B.
A B?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad grade.
No, it's not a bad grade at all.
Look, I thought the draft lacked a little sizzle from the Eagles' perspective, but that's okay.
It was a lot going on.
Well, there was. Yeah. I thought it was – I liked the players. Like, I thought Makuba could be a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson replacement as early as this season, and I think Robinson's going to be a big help on the defense line. So, overall, they got some good guys. The developmental quarterback we'll get to later with some ties, obviously, to the area back at St. Joe's Prep. Or we'll get to the whole draft and everything the Eagles did over the course of the show. And we'll do some Phillies takeaways. But, Hugh – sometimes the story is not what happens, it's what doesn't happen. And the story this weekend around the NFL, and not just for our purposes, was the fall of Shedeur Sanders. I mean, that was the story of the weekend.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders, who many people thought would be a first-round pick. I mean,
was projected to be a first, or at least a second-round pick, yeah, second-day pick.
I think it was strongly thought he was a first-round pick until the last couple days, and then people said, you know what? He actually might fall out of the first round. And that became the we weren't surprised Thursday night when he fell out of the first round. But when you got to Friday night and he didn't go in the second round, and then he didn't go in the third round, and then the draft starts again on Saturday and he's not going, I got to tell you, I couldn't have been the only one wondering what's going on, why did he fall, and then where he's going to land. All right, so there's a lot to react to here. 215-592-9494. Hugh, I want your take on the Shedeur Sanders thing. And after you give me your take on what happened there, I have a question for you. So first, tell me, what do you think about this? Because it's one of the more famous falls in terms of, really, I've ever seen in the NFL draft, where lots of people think he's a high pick, and obviously most in the NFL did not agree with that.
There's a lot to unpack with this, Joe, mm-hmm. and that's the unfortunate thing about it. I've been getting phone calls about this all weekend, and I've been trying to explain to people to the best of my ability. It was just not one thing. Because we've all seen the narratives on the internet and everything like that. And I'll say this about that. Being a guy that has been drafted and knowing how this process works, you try to shed light on this for people can understand. But the unfortunate thing about this situation, Joe, is that whatever camp you're in, whether it's racial, whether it's the football camp, whatever, you're in that camp and you're not listening to anything else, anything that anybody else is saying. Now, this is a fact. There has never been a player that as touted, as talented as Shadur has, whatever he had, a first-grade talent or a second-grade talent, that dropped this far in the draft. This is the first time that's ever happened, especially when you talk about where he was slated to go and everything, to fall to the fifth round. That's never happened, especially in a position where there's a lot of people that are trying to find a quarterback. That's a fact. Mm. I mean, you can go look it up. For somebody that had the type of grade that he had, and, you know, for you to go through the whole draft and people say that he's the best talent available, to fall that far, that has never happened.
It's one of the most famous falls in draft history.
So that's a fact. Now, if you want to be in the camp of his father had something to do with that, there's probably a little bit to that because they did come off as a little arrogant. He didn't go to training camp. He didn't work out at the combine. There's a whole bunch of things that he did not do.
Yep.
But I'll say that to this, and this is the comparison that I was trying to make last night. And if there's any other quarterback that you could compare him to, please throw that out there. But it just so happened that the quarterback that I was trying to compare him to was Johnny Manziel. Wasn't comparing the numbers that Johnny Manziel put up in college. I was talking more about his cockiness and his brashness. If you want to go to another quarterback, you have Baker Mayfield, who the week before the draft got in trouble with the cops. Didn't stop him from getting drafted.
Yeah, as a player, the cockiness, there's a Baker thing to him.
Yeah. It's a little bit of that. Yeah. So, you know, people automatically assume that you're trying to make it a race thing. No, I was comparing him to another quarterback that got drafted that was considered cocky. Now, if there was a black one that you could compare it to, point him out, and I ought to use that as an example, but that was the one that came to mind. So there's that side of it. And then people talk about his record at Colorado and his completion rate and all that. This is one of those things, people, where you ever heard a thing called the perfect storm?
Mm-hmm.
This was that. This was the arrogance played a part in this. The cockiness played a part in it. I think there was some racial undertones, a little bit of that. But more so, it was because a lot of people felt he needed to be humble. You know? So that there's that part of it. Now, what Shadur has to do, and I tweeted out last week, I said, if I'm Shadur, I would probably go to Canada. That was probably a little bit over the top. I was a little bit over the top with that tweet. But what he needs to do now is prove that he belongs, which is going to be tough.
Sure.
Because
sure.
The reality of this situation is this. They about five or six deep in that quarterback room. It's a lot of damn quarterbacks.
Well, it is.
It's not a lot of reps to get.
Well, they drafted another quarterback in the third round, Cleveland, before they drafted Shadur Sanders. All right, so here, I agree with you that there's probably five or six different things that played a role into this. I mean, some teams probably just didn't think he was great. They thought he was pretty good, but not great. Who knows what the draft process did to him? I don't think he handled it great in terms
of. He didn't, from what I've heard, because I've talked to friends of mine. And like I said, there's so much stuff to unpack with this. It's just not one thing.
Right.
It's a combination of a bunch of different
things. You throw Dion in there, and whether or not it's actually a distraction, I don't know. But maybe some perceived it was. Look, I don't know what happened and why he fell. Also, there could have been a discrepancy between experts, what they thought, and what the truth was. Sometimes that happens in the draft. This was a huge disparity. This was wide. Yeah, if people thought he was a first-round pick and he was fifth, someone was obviously way off, and that was the people we thought knew what they were talking about before the draft. There's this reality, though. As any player falls, Hugh, any player in the draft, teams start looking at him, and maybe they say, well, we didn't love him in the first round. We didn't love him in the second, but he's there, right? And even if we didn't love him, it's the fourth or fifth round, and one of those teams might as just well have been the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen to Ian Rappaport on the Eagles' potential interest as the draft unfolded and the Browns jumped over the Eagles to take Shedeur Sanders.
Rich, there have been rumors all day that the Philadelphia Eagles were interested in Shedeur Sanders, would be a perfect landing spot for him, a veteran quarterback room, a team with a really good backbone, really good culture. Well, the Cleveland Browns just traded over the Eagles. I wonder, obviously they have Dylan Gabriel yesterday. Did the Browns do this thinking the Eagles would take Shedeur, and just maybe, we'll see.
Well, I can answer that. At least I'll give my opinion. Yes, that's why the Browns traded over the Eagles. The teams don't just trade up in the fifth round for the hell of it. They do it because they don't want to lose the player and they think the team right behind them might take the player. So obviously, the Browns may have thought the Eagles were going to take him. Hugh, as he fell down the board, I know we had a little discussion Friday, second round, but as we got to the fourth, fifth round, did you want the Eagles to take him?
I did. And I heard the same thing. I heard that the Eagles were talking about taking him. I think it would have been a good fit. It would have been a good culture for him to be in, because I think when I talk about some of the things that Shedeur brought to the table, here's the problem with Shedeur and his pops. And this is one of the angles that maybe you might have taken, the people out there listening to you people. Maybe you might have taken it. But his dad is a huge presence in the locker room. His dad would have been a huge presence looming over whatever team was drafted him. The Cleveland Browns, when they drafted him, they didn't look too excited. I know
Andrew Berry looked like he was being held hostage.
And they told you can't really read anybody's face. You know, don't pay too much attention. Don't read too much into that. But let's be honest. Shedeur Sanders goes in the second round. There's a chance that he might start. Or he's going to a team where he's going to be the biggest voice. Say if he went to the Saints and his pops is back there. Kellen Moore just got the job.
Sure.
Deion's over there. You know he has head coach aspirations.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody.
But you think the Eagles could have handled it?
Well, the Eagles could have handled that because, first of all, you're not taking Jalen Hurts' job. Nick Sirianni just won the Super Bowl. So you're not in a position to be intimidated by whatever Deion says or his son.
Right.
So that's that. I think that a lot of these teams that when they passed on Shedeur, a lot of them had that thought process, like, well, hell, especially when you talk about the Giants. Now, there's reports that Shedeur didn't test well or whatever. He wasn't prepared. Mm. But when you look at the Giants, if they'd have taken him in the second round, you got Shedeur sitting there, you know, as a quarterback, and his pops that coached him is there. They're trying to save that. They don't want that heat.
Well, I think that when you ran through all the reasons why he probably fell, that's one of them.
That's probably one of the reasons why they don't want that heat.
215-592-9494. So here's where I was at on it. I mean, I thought about it. I mean, and so I'll be honest. I have two minds here. One, like, it would be wild if he was here. Just
For the storyline.
Talk show perspective, storyline.
It would have been fun.
He's a huge name. It would have been fun, right? It would have brought attention, a different kind of attention here. But just from a football perspective, I didn't want him. And it wasn't because I was like, I don't want him here. I don't want him on this football team. I don't have anything against him. He's just a football player. But you know this from last week. I didn't see it with him. Like, I wasn't surprised he was falling the first round. I don't think he's that great of a prospect. So I wasn't like, oh, my God, this guy's falling. Wow, I need to get him. It wasn't like, because I like Jalen Milroe. That's the kind of guy I wanted him as the backup quarterback. But all right, they didn't get him. But I wasn't banging the table. I didn't want them to do it. And Hugh, for me, it was this. And we kept hearing the same stories about testing and interviews. And I feel like the Eagles could have brought him into their culture.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't view Shedeur Sanders as a player the Eagles would draft. Like, does he fit their culture? Not that they couldn't have handled him. Because the Eagles have had you go to Devontae Smith, right? You go to Jalen Hurts. They have had a run of drafting players, Nolan Smith. It feels like they draft guys that are football first, love the game, and are team guys. And those are questions that keep coming up about Shedeur Sanders. Like, can he play a little bit? I think he could play a little bit. I don't think he's a bad prospect. But there seems to be this thing out there that maybe he's not football first, right? That he doesn't love the game as much, or that he's not the best teammate or the best team guy. And I don't know if those are true. I just know the Eagles have done all this to build this culture the last 5 years. And I didn't feel he fit as much as the other guys.
You know what? I look at it like this. Like, I've never met Shedeur. I know his pops. Obviously, we played against him. I look at it like this. I think he loves the game. I think that, you know, this weekend was humbling for him. Very, very humbling. In a way where he probably looks at a lot of things differently and probably wish he would handle a lot of it differently.
I'm sure he did. I mean, in terms of money, he lost a lot of money this weekend.
Yeah, he did. He did. I think that he could be a good player. I think this was somewhat of a wake-up call for him. I don't expect him not to be who he is, though. at his core. But he might tone it down a little bit. Like, and I tried to tell somebody this weekend. And they were like, he was arrogant. He thought he was better than everybody else. And I told him, I said, I hate to break this to you, but there's not a professional athlete on this planet that does not think that they're better than somebody else. Mm. It's just the way that you carry yourself. And for him, his demeanor and his bravado, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Obviously, because talent-wise, he probably should have went higher than the fifth round.
And that's where you have to ask yourself. Because here's what I do know. I remember when I went to the combine, there's a lot of cats that when teams tried to talk to him, they had that same attitude because they had the game to back it up.
Yep.
And that's what you have to ask yourself. Like, you could say that Shadur wasn't this, that, or third, but there's never been a player who has been as highly touted as him fall to the fifth round.
That's why
like
it
that.
Became the story of the draft. Yeah. Because it was out of the ordinary. And now part of it was he was a famous quarterback, right?
His famous father, right, and he went to Colorado.
Sometimes players fall, but if it's a guard, it's not a story, right? Yeah. Like, but this was the most high profile fall in a very long time. All right, can we hear this before we go any further? So Rap Sheet said the Browns may have traded over the Eagles to get Shadur Sanders. I believe him. I think that's why the Browns did it. And then Howie Roseman was asked about this, and I found his answer, well, just listen to this, because I think there's a different way he could have answered it, but it kind of left the door open that, yeah, they might have taken Shadur Sanders.
Did you kind of think, like, when Cleveland traded ahead of you, that you guys were looking at Shadur Sanders? And if you can talk in general, like, are you kind of surprised he was still there in the fifth round?
Yeah, I feel like the best thing for us to do is focus on the players that we brought in here. You know, it'd be a disservice to the players that we drafted to talk about other teams' players. We got enough on our own plate to worry about with the Philadelphia Eagles, so we'll stick to that.
Very odd answer. Hugh, you know how we could answer that question?
Just say
Mac McWilliams was the pickup we were going to make. I mean, all he had to say was we loved Mac. Mac was the kid we were going to pick with our next pick, and the Browns made a good pick themselves. But, like, he left that door open. He didn't say no, and he also didn't say we were taking Mac McWilliams regardless if he was on the board.
Well, I think that's the beauty of Howie, because he leaves it open so that we can interpret it the way that we want to interpret it.
I'm interpreting that they were going to take Shadur Sanders. All right, 215-592-9494. Did you want the Eagles to draft Shadur as he was falling? Hugh did. I didn't. Kyle, where do you come down as Saturday? Well, it went from Friday to Saturday. It became the biggest story of the draft. Did you want Shadur?
I mean, I have to admit, I at least thought about it as it was happening.
Well, I think everyone did.
The whole situation was crazy for him to have been falling that far. After, I mean, people were speculating that he was going to be like a top five pick. Yeah. He could go to the Giants, he can go in the first round, and then you were like, okay, well, if he's not going in the first, he's got to be going in the second, right? But to fall that far, you're like, I think I would have been, I think I'm glad at the end of the day that they didn't take him. I was with you. Jalen Milroe was kind of the apple of my eye. I did want him to take a quarterback, but if I'm taking a quarterback, I want a guy that I think has something that he does really well. Like Milroe was a great runner. Like he's coming into this and you're thinking that he could be faster than Lamar Jackson. Like that's something that I'm like, man, if they could just hone that skill set. And I mean, you could turn him into a pretty damn solid quarterback. I just think, I mean, among a few reasons, like, Shadur Sanders probably adds too many big personalities in his locker room that has a lot of big personalities to begin with. It just feels like it could have been a volatile situation, especially with what was going on with his dad and everything in the pre-draft process. But ultimately, my biggest reason that I didn't want him is I just don't think he's that good. Like, I don't see anything that Shadur Sanders does really, really well. And I never really thought that, I didn't think of him as a guy that should be picked in the top five, even though that was kind of what the hype was surrounding him with the media. But like, I just don't think he's that good of a player. So at the end of the day, like, it really just comes down to that. Like, I think I would have been okay with the Jalen Milroe pick, but at the end of the day, glad that they didn't do the Shadur thing.
Yeah, so I wasn't banging the table either Saturday, but I would not have been surprised if they did it. It would have been a very Eagles thing to do. The Eagles value the quarterback position more than any of
and he has a chance to grow. And I would even venture to say with the quarterback room, probably had a chance to stick. Probably would have had a chance to stick in Cleveland. See, this is the reality, and this is the thing that most people that got drafted know. Everybody's like, oh, he's happy he got drafted in the fifth round. Now, him and Shiloh, they probably won't make the squad. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Probably won't make the squad. That's not a lot of reps. When you think about quarterbacks, think about it like this. If we had, in a 20-rep day, the starting quarterback getting about 12 of those reps. And then, getting most of them. Then you got to divvy the rest of them out.
Right now, and they have Flacco, Pickett. They drafted a quarterback in the third round and
yeah,
Shadur.
And not only that, when you talk about that quarterback room, that 12 reps, because they probably want to look at Flacco. They already know what Flacco can do. They're probably going to look at two gloves.
Yep.
They're going to split those reps.
And the other quarterback they drafted. Yes, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot going on, man.
215-592-9494. Your reaction to the Eagles draft. Look, I like the safety out of Texas a lot, and that defensive tackle looks like he could be a player. But the story became Shadur Sanders, and the Eagles, at least in the eyes of the Browns, I think, were going to take him there in that fifth round. They jumped over them. Did you want the Eagles to take Shadur Sanders as he was falling on Friday and especially on Saturday? Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middletown starts us off on a post-draft Monday. Good morning, Chris.
Chris.
Happy Put Your Coat on Mothballs Day, man.
What's up, Chris?
Winter's gone, Hugh. You can put that coat away. You're good.
I'm good.
I think we're over. It's over now. Yeah, it's May later this week. It's going to be in the 80s. We're good now.
Perfect. We're there. That's what I'm looking at, man. We're beyond that. So I do want to stop because that was the second biggest story. The biggest story that I heard come out over the weekend, Hugh, so I want to take a minute. I want to tell you I appreciate everything you've done for Philadelphia since you returned. You know, I know I'm going to miss you tremendously, you know, but I fully understand, like Billy Joel's song said, you know, that New York state of mind is where your heart's at.
Oh, I get where he's going to New York. Man, listen, I haven't. I'm not going to lie. Full disclosure. I called Aaron Glenn.
Of course you did. We know. You don't have to tell us.
I asked him, you know, when I can come visit. He said, whenever you get ready. So, yeah, I called. I mean, but this was, in my defense, this was
unbelievable.
No, this was before I found out
no
that he was drafted.
No one believes you.
I know. And I told the story, and nobody still believes
Once a jet, always a jet, this guy over here, Chris. It's unbelievable.
I've heard reports that that Hugh actually reached out to Spike and start trying to see if he could make some phone calls for him.
To go to New York? I'm not definitely not going to New York.
You want
to
get closer to Auntie? We get it. We get it. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, listen, Hugh, it's only a train ride or a short drive away. It's not that bad. You can make it work. It's close enough. It's not West Coast.
No, it's definitely not West Coast.
Can we get back to the topic here, which is, can you imagine what the city of Philadelphia would be like with Jalen and Shadur as the backup? I mean, the storylines. I mean, literally from an entertainment value, and me being a little bit emotional as a fan, that ride would have been a hell of a ride. And then you got Deion behind the scenes being Deion and doing what Deion says and saying things. And then imagine this, sprinkle in a little Nick Sirianni on the top of it. Like, the show would have been incredible. Like, I know poor Kyle. Kyle was hoping he would get drafted because he's not being truthful. He wanted him to get drafted because he knew he'd have enough material for a lifetime of programming. I mean, the story would have been just unbelievable.
But did you want him as a football player?
I would take him. I would take him. I think it's – I'm not going to get into it, guys, because I know a lot of people are going to have a lot to say on this. Hugh, I 100% agree with you. It's all of everything that's about to be said today sprinkled in a culmination of togetherness. Personally, I think it was a lot of total 100% nonsense going on. There's no reason the talent of him – that is predicted to be a top five falls to the fifth round. That's just, there's a lot of shenanigans going on there, and it's not just one thing. I think it's, again, a culmination of it all. So, but let's focus on what we did get. Kyle should be the happiest guy because he got CJ's little brother in Andrew Mukuba, you know, and we'll come up with names for this guy. But he's a young version of him. But, guys, the steal of the draft was administered by the legend, Howie Roseman. Defense man is you because Philadelphia is bringing J-I-H-A-A-D. Yeah, Philly!
You know, the only reason
Chris set it up for us,
but then he spelled it right because I was looking at
you're making sure?
List. Yeah. Well, I had the list of the names, like, right there.
You got to have the two A's in there. You got to make sure you have that.
215. Good job, Chris.
592-949. It was a defense-heavy draft for the Eagles.
They get
Jahad Campbell, they get Mukuba, and they get themselves Ty Robinson with their first three picks. More of a figurative slap across the face is what the Eagles are doing to Dallas Goedert right now. Well, you know, you set me up for it, but I mean it. So Dallas Goedert's still a Philadelphia Eagle. Howie spoke about him after the draft the other day, and we'll get to what Howie said. But, Hugh, this morning I saw some news. You see this? George Kittle got paid this morning?
Got paid!
George Kittle and the 49ers.
Wait, how much did he get?
4 years, $76.4 million.
That's 40, a nice payday.
Yeah, 40 of that guaranteed. By the way, George Kittle, who is 2 years older than Dallas Goedert, just got 4 years, $76 million, as the Eagles are haggling with a tight end who's been here for years, been to two Super Bowls, helped them win a Super Bowl, been one of the best postseason performers ever at the tight end position. Hugh, the more I think about what's going on here, the more I think about how the Eagles have treated the Goedert situation since the season ended, the fact that Goedert got paid today, it really hit me this morning. They're undervaluing Dallas Goedert, what he's brought to this team, what he means to this team. We're nickel and diming one of the better players we've had here in this city for a long time. Hugh, I think they're totally undervaluing him. I think about what he accomplished just this last year. And I know he was banged up, and Douglas is going to tell us that in a minute. I know
That's a preemptive strike there. That's not right.
Here's what I know. He saved their season with the touchdown in New Orleans. He is not just a pass catcher. He also blocks really well. We talk about him as if he's old and over the hill. He's 30. You ready for the ages of other tight ends that are still productive in the NFL? Travis Kelce's 36. George Kittle, by the way, just got paid this morning, is 32. Zach Ertz is still playing well. What do you have?
Travis 36?
No, Travis is 36. Yeah, Ertz. Ertz, who we let go 5 years ago to have Goedert play, Ertz is still catching 10 passes in the title game. He's 35. Mark Andrews is 30. I mean, there's plenty of tight ends in the league right now that are this age or older. He's one of only five tight ends in NFL history with multiple postseasons of 16 or more catches.
And he went to the White House yesterday.
And he was participating with his teammates. Good for the Eagles. Obviously, a fun day for them yesterday. All right? Hugh, his cap number for next year is $11
million. It's a lot of money.
All right, I'm going to hit you with a number.
I'm going to hit you with a number,
and then you could tell me your opinion on this, all right? You know how the Eagles roll over cap space, right? They have dead cap money. They have people on the roster that they have to allocate money for that aren't here. You say $11 million is a lot of money for Goedert on the cap next year. Do you know who accounts for $16 million of the Eagles' cap this coming season?
Saquon?
Jason Kelce.
Oh.
Who's not here.
Okay.
The Eagles are allocating $16 million on their cap next season to Jason Kelce, who's obviously retired and not here because that money sits on the cap. But they can't give $11 million in cap room to Dallas Goedert. I think we're undervaluing this guy. I think the Eagles are. Let me make that clear. Maybe not you. Maybe not me. I think the Eagles are. 215-592-9494. Hugh, where do you come down? I mean, you've lived the life of a player that's, you know, this stage of their career. You know how this works. I feel like they're undervaluing him because it really feels like they're publicly trying to get him to take a pay cut.
Well, it's probably that. But you look at Dallas in his career, man, and I'm looking at these numbers. Missed seven games, what, last year?
Mm-hmm.
He missed three in 2023 and five in 2022. The biggest thing is for him is his availability. And that kind of – when you have a tight end of his caliber, as good as he is, and I always say this, your biggest asset is your availability. And when you're not available for your offense, a lot has to change in order to get some of the production that they're missing with you. Now, granted, I know that when he's out there, he's a phenomenal player.
Yep.
But it's a dependability thing. To put it like this. I could have a 10-second 5.0, a car that's a track car.
Mm-hmm.
Can have a 10-second car, right? 9-second car, whatever. But it does me no good if every time I race it, it's always breaking down. It's not durable. I can't drive it all the time. See, so I think that's where the Eagles are looking at this. Dallas Goedert is still a serviceable tight end. And when you look at the resources that we've allocated to that position, which is none, because we didn't get anybody.
Zero.
I understand where you're coming from. Now, this is what makes it unique and precarious to me, is that what are you going to do? Like, you don't want to pay him. You don't want to extend him. Like, what do you do? Like, to me, the easiest fix for this is to extend him and bring that cap number down.
Sure.
Extend him to a couple years. That's my opinion, but I'm not a capologist. I don't know what Howie's thinking. And normally when you do things like that, Joe, it is normally you do that to bring his cap number down and it puts money in his pocket.
So I think that's the logical thing. Of course, though, that ties them to him
for
into
a couple more
30s.
Years.
Yeah, and maybe because of the injury history, they don't want to. Hugh, I think your point is logical. I get why they might not want to do that. I just want to bring him back for this year. Like this nickel and diming him over his salary for this year. It's not like they have zero cap space this year. That's what's driving me crazy about this. Like, if we were over the cap, right, we got to make cuts. I get it. I get it. He's expensive. He's older. I get all that. You make a good point about his injury stuff. Though I will say, Hugh, his injuries have been, I don't know if this is even the right way to say it, they've been kind of well-timed. He's never missed a playoff game, right? Mm-hmm. He always gets hurt in, like, November, right? Then we wonder if he's going to be back by the end, and he seems to always get back. He's never missed a playoff game. He played in 2-18, 1-19, 1-21, 3-22, 1-23, and all four this year, and made huge plays those playoff games. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert? It sure feels like. Let's listen to Howie Roseman. This weekend after the draft, so the Eagles don't draft a tight end. They didn't get Hugh Mason Taylor. They avoided that situation. But, yeah, I know. Yeah, they didn't get a Mason Taylor. We didn't get any tight end here. Let's listen to Howie Roseman talking about Goedert and kind of the way he framed him still being on the team.
You know, Dallas is part of the team, you know, as we speak. Obviously, as we go forward, we're going to continue to address things on this team. And right now, nothing further. Dallas is a heck of a player, heck of a person. You know, certainly don't want to do anything publicly where we're discussing anyone's business, but have so much respect for him. You know, been to two Super Bowls together, and you know, obviously would love him on this team. You know, you always love having Dallas on this team, but we're not there right now on any of that. But love Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, you know what, Hugh, when he said, as we speak, that as we
turn
speak.
Your mic on.
I know. I'm having trouble. I'm having headphone issues in here. As we speak is not a good sign. It doesn't. When you hear as we speak, what do you think? He's on the team as we speak.
It doesn't sound like they're having meaningful, productive conversation.
It does not.
But I'll say this, and I know you might not think this is a big thing. He was at the White House. And I think that there probably was. I think.
You think that means there's something there for his future? Because Mekhi Becton was there. He's a Charger.
Well, yeah, he is, but he's gone. Yeah. I think Howie just strikes me, and I don't know this for sure because this side of Howie is not the Howie that I knew when I was here. But Howie strikes me as a guy that's more personable than, say, a Joe Banner was. And I'm pretty sure that they have that type of relationship where he was like, damn, okay, Howie, what you doing? What's going on?
Getting too comfortable in here? It's only 10-11.
No, but I'm saying, like, if I'm Dallas and I feel like they have the kind of relationship with Howie that I think it is, it's not, you can ask Howie that, yo, what's going on, man? I mean, what we doing? Like, seriously, what's going on? And I think that Howie has that kind of cachet. Howie's around those guys a lot. I see Howie more so with those guys than I ever saw Joe Banner when he was doing Howie's job. So I feel like it's not out of bounds to have that kind of conversation with Howie because I think Howie will have that conversation.
Yeah, and maybe they have. And I don't think it's going to be an ugly breakup if they move on. But the reality is this. It just feels like they are trying to squeeze him to take their number.
Well, it does. And there's a lot that we don't know about the situation. Maybe the numbers. Maybe they are trying to get him to resign. Mm-hmm. And maybe the number that they want him to resign for is not, or the years, is not what Dallas wants.
Maybe. But when they talk about him, they're putting, like, for now, as of now, right
well,
now.
Well, because they're probably trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And they're also, you got to think, too, Joe, they're probably trying to figure out their plan B. Or C, for that matter, if it doesn't work out.
Well, we just had the draft. They didn't draft anybody.
Yeah, they didn't draft nobody.
That plan. Now, I'd feel differently about this if they had drafted a tight end in the second round. Then it would have felt like, okay, they're probably valuing him fairly because they have his replacement
might
already.
Might be negotiating good faith, too. Might be a little bit of that.
I feel like they're doing it too publicly. I don't know.
They're kind of not. Well, it's public to us because we don't know the intricacies of the details.
Right, but every time Howie speaks about him, it's almost like a hedge. Like, yeah, he's here right now. We like him.
I mean, because at this point, you don't know how it's going to go.
But he's on the roster.
Yeah, he is now. But, again, might be some conversation or negotiations that the numbers that you, where you want to be and where he wants to be, they're not adding
up. I agree with you, and that's why I think they're undervaluing. I feel like this is an Eagles problem more than a Goddard problem. 215-592-9494. Let's hear one more from Howie Roseman here the other day post-draft about Dallas Goedert.
Do you see a path where Dallas can come back at this point? And is that the one place maybe you're still a little bit uncomfortable?
Dallas is a heck of a player, heck of a person. You know, certainly don't want to do anything publicly where we're discussing anyone's business, but have so much respect for him. You know, been to two Super Bowls together, and you know, obviously would love him on this team. You know, you always love having Dallas on this team, but we're not there right now on any of that. But love Dallas Goedert.
When he says we'd love to have him on the team, my response is he's on the team. Yeah. Why is Howie talking about him as if he's a free agent?
Because they're trying to figure this thing out.
No, because they're undervaluing him and trying to get him to take a big
what is it, 16 million? 12 million?
14 on the salary,
sounds
11
so
on the cap.
16. So.
No, they're paying Jason Kelce 16 to do television.
Yeah, don't let facts get in the way. Yeah,
they're paying Jason Kelce $16 million on the cap for Kelce to be on WIP.
He's off the books, right? He's off the books this year.
No, he's on their books for this year.
No, I said after this year, he'll be off the
books. Oh, I got to check. What? I'm not worried about next year.
I mean, it happens all the time, and that's probably why they don't want to cut Dallas. The way they don't want to do anything abrupt.
Yeah.
But $12 million, Joe, $14 million. It's a lot for a tight end that missed seven games last year.
And here it is. Company man Douglas has arrived.
I'm just being honest. I have been on this, your biggest asset is your availability train, the whole time I've been here. It's the truth. If you're not healthy and you can't play, you put your team in a bind. What would he talk about last year when Slay was here? How he went out, like every game, he went out to the sideline and came back like he was Hulk Hogan, like he was the conquering hero.
They kept him.
But they tried to get rid of him, and they brought him back for a cheaper number.
They kept him. I mean,
but they brought him back for a cheaper number.
I hear you. All right, Kyle, what do you think on the Goddard thing? As he's still here, but every time Howie talks, it feels like that door is being pushed out.
Yeah, it's annoying me because it feels like they're kind of doing him dirty. Mm-hmm. I like Dallas Goedert, and I think the Eagles have kind of gone too far in two directions this offseason, and one of them is with the pinch and penny stuff. Like, haven't we saved enough damn money this offseason for next year? And whatever moves that we can make next offseason, feels like we're going to have enough room to be able to bring back Jalen Carter, because that's really the big one next year. I don't see Dallas Goedert being the reason or being what's getting in the way of bringing back Jalen Carter. Like, weren't you just saying that it's about cash savings and not necessarily cap savings? So, like, I don't understand it from that perspective. But the other thing is, I think the Eagles have done enough to like reset this team for what the Eagles will look like 3-4 years down the line. Like, can they do something that's going to help them win next season? Letting Dallas Goedert go hurts them next year. Like, I've been very clear with how I think the Eagles need to win next season, and that's by doubling down on this offense, and in particular the passing offense. So, yeah. Like, they don't have enough behind him. I don't think Calcaterra is a good enough Dallas Goedert replacement. Whoever was it Granson and Harrison Bryant?
Like, yeah,
I don't trust these guys to be adequate tight end replacements for Dallas Goedert. Like, Goedert does add another layer to the offense that I think we're going to need. Like, so I don't think we're going to be able to rely as heavily on the run game next year. And even if you do, Dallas Goedert helps you in a big way with that. And I don't think they're going to be able to rely as heavily, you know, they'll still be able to rely on it, but as heavily on the defense next year. This team's going to need to air it out if they want to be competitive and win the Super Bowl again. And, like, I don't see any – I just think the upside to bringing Dallas Goedert back totally outweighs whatever it would be to let him go at this point.
I agree. Well, also with that, we know they're going to run it a lot anyway. That's what they do when you have Saquon, you have Jalen Hurts. Dallas Goedert's a really good blocker. I mean, even if you think Calcaterra could play a little bit, he can't block like Dallas Goedert. So you have that aspect. And every other position that they've lost people this offseason, Hugh, and some of it we knew was coming, right? They seem to have something in the pipeline ready to go, right? Ojomo is behind Milton Williams, and now they drafted the Ty Robinson kid. They signed Azeez Ojulari. They have Jalix Hunt developing right behind Josh Sweat. Every one of them, I could kind of like nod my head and say, okay, they have Kelee Ringo behind Darius Slay, and they signed Adoree Jackson. What's behind?
Nothing.
Nothing. Even
Calcaterra.
Stop. Even the CJGJ thing,
Kyle
right?
Calcaterra. Grant Calcaterra.
They drafted a safety in the second round. What? They have Sidney Brown. There's no tight end here.
I just made everybody mad by saying that.
This is why we call you a company man. No, this is why.
No, I'm just saying. He was pretty productive. Listen.
Oh, jeez.
Listen to what I'm saying before you start calling me names.
I didn't say you.
I mean, at least can I get it out before you start calling me names?
Joe's about to start calling you tons of names.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. It'd just be the first time today.
Calcaterra was productive.
He was pretty
productive.
Yeah, sure. Now, he wasn't what Dallas Goedert was. And I'm not saying that they would be comfortable going in it to this season with him. But when you talk about the financial perspective, with the games that Dallas has missed in the last 3 years, that's like what? Quick math. That's like 14 games. Uh-oh. Cow, 5, 6, 7, 8.
You're going to start drowning if you get into math.
15 games. I did the math real quick. He missed 15 games.
Yeah.
That's a damn near a season.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying a guy who damn near missed the season.
It's unbelievable.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm trying.
That's Spin Doctor Doug.
I am not
Hold on. Now how many games? Before we signed Saquon, how many games did he miss the 3 seasons prior?
Well, but
he wasn't.
He's been healthy. He was healthier this year than he's ever been in any of his
games. Maybe Goddard will be super healthy this year. Maybe.
Well, that doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
You know what? You're focusing on the wrong numbers. You know what numbers in my head? 61-yard touchdown versus the Saints.
Calcaterra is fine, but you know what this reminds me of was when we were talking about losing players. He was like, A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon.
No.
These guys.
My job here is to take you behind the curtain. I'm taking you behind the curtain.
Yeah, this curtain's silly.
I know. And it makes everybody mad, but I am the drunk uncle at the barbecue.
Because you, like the Eagles, are undervaluing Dallas Goedert.
Because
I am
looking at it realistically, Joe.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
when you talk about paying somebody $14 million who's missed the whole season damn near, it's a lot of money.
Pinching pennies.
Well, you know, I'm a pinch.
I know. That's why you align with
this. That's a whole lot of money to pay a guy who availability is always up in the air.
Well, it is. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown up talking Goddard as it feels like the Eagles are undervaluing him. What's up, Chris?
Happy Bring Back Goddard Day, man.
That's what day it is today, at least for some of us around here.
All right, I got to get right to this. Mm-hmm. Hugh Douglas, with all due respect, I do not need to hear your company man nonsense. I'm about to cook you up like you did that bacon on the air, all right? Listen, it's not like this guy's going to Jacksonville us. It's not a gap year, okay?
Feel attacked.
You should.
You should feel attacked. I mean, dude, this guy, you're saying, oh, he missed 5 games. What did he do in the playoffs? We don't win that game, potentially, in Green Bay without him. We don't win 2 or 3 of those playoff games without the guy. The guy carried us. He was our only receiver that was doing anything. That Green Bay game, I was there. I watched it. We were on pins and needles because it was close, and we couldn't close it out until who? Dallas Goedert caught the ball in little boy Carrington Valentine all the way 24 yards into the end zone. That's the difference this guy does. How many games do you remember seeing on tape where, like, he lays out with a one-arm catch or
– Oh, no, he was on angry runs. He had the angry run, yeah.
This dude is a beast. We got to bring him back. You have to bring him in. Now, I was on board with you of not bringing him back as long as, you know, we brought a little bit of, you know, Honey Jasmine into town. But we didn't get it, okay? That went to New York. So – Now, you got to bring him back. This guy is Philadelphia to the core. He's grit. He's what we love. He's our type of play. There's only one thing left to do. G-O-E-T-E-R-T. Holly, sign him. The voice is fading.
That's all right, Chris. We appreciate it.
Go check on his boys after that.
Yeah. Check on everything. I was wondering. I was like, he couldn't spell Dallas. That just wouldn't feel right. So he went with the Goddard, and that G was a little high pitched. But
that G sounded like it hurt.
It did. Chris might have to lay down the rest of the day. All right, 215-592-9494. For the Eagles, clearly are playing hardball here with Dallas Goedert. Do you think they are undervaluing him? I do. I think he's an important player to bring back. If the goal is to win the Super Bowl again next year, I want to bring him back. I think the Eagles are undervaluing him. Obviously, Frugal Douglas here is pinching pennies. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Tuesday at 3 o'clock.
back from the Capitol is our embedded D.C. reporter, Elliot Shore Parks.
What up?
Hey, how you doing, Elliot?
What up, E?
Tuesday's
interesting day yesterday.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
You know, just a quick note. I saw you scrambling around for headphones. You're on the air enough.
I know. I was waiting for you to say this. As I was plugging the other ones in, I knew you were going to say this.
Real radio hosts have their own headphones.
I agree.
Just get yourself a pair of headphones.
Okay.
You're not going to do it, though.
Well, honestly, I have my eye on a pair of nice headphones for the gym, but maybe I can justify the purchase for here.
Get some, because you're a hair guy.
I am a hair guy.
You got to get the in-ear ones, like
See,
Ike and
you
I
guys do that, and I respect it, but for me, I feel like I need to have these in. But maybe once I did that, I would realize it's not that different.
This is the first time I ever did it. I kind of like it.
You like it? Yeah,
I kind of like
feel
it.
Like you are like a over-the-head guy.
So looking, I was.
Nice haircut, by the way.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm
sure
always
the
wearing the hat.
Agree.
Well, yes. Oh, come on. Yeah, I thought about it. As soon as we went on the air, I was like, oh, I'm not wearing
comments,
a hat. Not wearing a hat today.
As
here
if this
we
guy
go.
Could get uglier.
Yeah, there it is. Yep, I'm sure.
Ooh, boy.
Yep, Jack could tell you. So looking back on yesterday, it's quite an experience for you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you must look back and say, wow, I covered an event at the White House.
Yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of thoughts on it. The first I would say is I just think it's cool to have been there. And also, when the Eagles win their next Super Bowl, like, it'll have been cool to gone through this so I can know what to expect the next time and all that. So I think it's a good experience. I also think yesterday ended up being, like, a win for everybody. Like, if you didn't want them to go, guess what? Most of the roster didn't go. If you wanted them to go, they went. Like, the team was there, Lurie and all that. And if you don't care the way and, like, you don't want the whole political thing, then you got to remember they won the Super Bowl. Like, I think for all of it that it could have been yesterday, I think it probably was the best possible outcome for how it could have gone.
I agree. Because if one or two of them hadn't gone, it would have been a whole thing.
Right.
But the fact that, like, everybody got what they wanted out of it, and we can just move on, and we have the pictures, we have the video, we have funny moments. You know, him bringing up Big Dom and calling him Dominic is funny, you know, is whatever.
Yeah.
It's over. I'm glad that it went the way that it did.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, there's only one more thing for this team. It's the ring ceremony, and that's it. Like, then it's officially on to next year.
Do we know when that is?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they probably do. They haven't told us. We haven't even seen the rings yet.
Oh, no, yeah. It usually debuts on social media when the rings are finished.
Do you think they'll put...
They may not do it until...
No, they don't do it until it's revealed.
Yeah, until they give them out that night.
Because I think the players, like, it's the first time
it's the first time they get
them.
To see what they look like. Yeah.
Do you think they'll put both Lombardis on there?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but not all the players won both Lombardis. Okay, I'm just saying. Not all players won both Lombardis.
Don't start this, man. Oh, God, you made me explain this.
All right.
Every team does this.
So the Patriots put six on there?
Yes.
See, I don't like that, though. Because
that's fine you don't like it, but I'm just saying the Eagles aren't. They're doing what every team
does.
Right,
right,
right. Because it's a representation of the organization. So if you happen to be on a team that won the fifth Super Bowl overall with the organization, to distinguish your ring from the other teams that won Super Bowls, yours have five on it.
But wouldn't the year do that? Like, I get your point. You are right that it's the fifth ring they've won. That is a good point. But I'm just saying, like...
That's a good point, Ike.
It is a good point.
I like that he threw that in there.
Ike just gave me a look that he's never given me before.
Well, I'm just like, did
it was total exasperation.
I think it was a good point, but there's the other way that you can show the uniqueness of the ring compared to others is... Well,
the year is on there.
The year, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, it's on there.
Right, so then...
But let me ask you this.
And then we can get to the top.
Well, just from an aesthetic.
Well, because I think it's a little ridiculous they're bringing both trophies everywhere. Like, it's celebrating one team. Like,
But celebrate the organization.
But you're celebrating the organization.
But they're celebrating the Super Bowl win. They are. They're celebrating the Super Bowl win. Like... Look, it's cool they've won two Super Bowls, obviously. But, like, we would make fun of the Cowboys if they brought, like, four trophies, or however many they have, everywhere they won. Like, if they win another Super Bowl and they brought all the trophies everywhere, we'd be like, oh, well, those are, you know, like, I think let the one stand on its own a little bit.
I hear that. But since it's only two, it's okay. I would agree. I don't need to see five Super Bowl trophies at the White House.
Right.
But I don't know if Kansas City brought all of their Super Bowl trophies with them. I don't know that.
Maybe we'll find out. Apparently they might go. So
I mean, well, you need another team to win who has multiple championships. Yeah. to show it. You don't have to worry about the Cowboys ever doing that.
There you go.
Not anytime soon. Yeah.
I mean, there was a Dallas Sucks chant at the White
which is
House
also yesterday. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome.
So we were talking about this before the show. Were there family members there? Were any of the players allowed to bring family members?
It's hard for me to say because I don't know what all their family members look like. But it did seem like there was a section.
You would know what the wives or significant others look like that are players' wives.
Right.
Or significant others.
Yeah. I'll say
they don't
like,
look like the coaches' wives.
Yeah. It was a lot of coaches. I'll say that. I mean, you know, you look
that's
at the
picture. That's Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
Well, that seems like that's a whole
other thing. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the pictures from yesterday, like in the moment when they first walked out, I thought there was like maybe, you know, 20 or so players or 30. Like it looked like there was a decent showing. It was really mostly coaches up there. When you look at it, I think there ended up being 32 players of a possible like 80 something. So, I mean, almost less than a fourth. That's not right. Like less than a third. No. When? Yeah.
It's less than a half.
It's more than a third.
Yes.
It's roughly more than a third. Yes, well, I'm trying to diminish it. I'm trying
Yeah. It's definitely more than a third. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And also only 8 of 22 starters, I think, were there.
Okay.
Now that was surprising.
So,
five was the offensive line and
it was offensive line, Saquon, and then Cooper and Blankenship.
There definitely were some funny social media moments.
Eli Ricks was there.
Eli Ricks tweeted.
I didn't see this until after, by the way.
When you
guys said on the air yesterday, Eli really had fun, I was like, I guess. I know what you were talking about.
Eli Ricks' first tweet, Donald Trump daughter is beautiful, man, and then beautiful damn, and then following it up with, by the way, she is married. After seeing her in person, Ivanka is exactly my type. That is a bold tweet, my friend.
Here's the funniest thing. Like, I haven't looked at the timestamp, but based off the fact you guys knew.
And it was while they were there.
Yeah, they're in the White House. Yeah. Like, if I was Eli, I might have waited till I'm, you know,
I would have waited
outside the grounds to maybe tweet that one out. Yeah.
He was excited, though.
He was.
He took a picture of the him right next to the bloody picture. And then there was Mekhi Becton. Came fully decked out with his giant big ticket chain
in the White House.
Yeah.
I think him and Britton Covey were the only former players that showed up.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
No, and soon to be Dallas Goedert, maybe. And then you didn't get to ask any questions, so you didn't get to ask your tush push question, but Tim did not either. But Trump did comment on the tush push.
Awesome.
Wow.
Here's what he said.
The Eagles scored a touchdown on their signature play, the tush push. You know what that is? Or is some, I hope they keep that play, Coach. I don't know. But, you know, they're
definitely playing to this crowd.
Getting rid of that play, I understand. They should keep it. What do you think, Saquon?
There you go. There you go. So,
how long did he have to study all this before going out there?
Well, there's no way he.
That's why I'm laughing about it.
Yeah.
Well, there's no idea what the hell a tush push is.
Yeah.
Right. Although he did have a section in there about Jalen.
Yes. Yeah, it was very complimentary.
Yeah, well, no, it was. But like when he talked about different players, you know, it was like, oh, and Saquon Barkley, and here he is. I think he was very aware prior that Jalen was not there. Like, he didn't turn around and look for Jalen,
right,
is what I'm saying.
Right, because he's asking, where's the quarterback?
Right.
They probably told him. I wonder if in his notes he knew that.
Well, he saw the game.
Yes.
Wasn't he at the game?
He was at the game, yeah.
He was at the game.
He mentioned it,
yeah. He knows what Jalen looks like.
Actually, because...
Well, they were behind him, though.
No, I know. I'm saying that he knows that he's not there.
At the
Super Bowl, on my way into the thing, I went in the wrong door, and the Secret Service was like, you need to leave immediately. And
oh,
I had to turn
really?
Around. Yeah.
Oh, would have been so cool if they threw you on the ground.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Who the hell are you?
I'm in jail at the Super Bowl doing the pod. Like,
Well, I don't think you'd be doing the pod if you were in jail.
Yeah, no, you're right. I wouldn't, Jack. You're right, yeah.
It would have been you stepping in.
Man.
It sounds like you got tush pushed out of the way by the Secret Service.
Hey, yeah.
You would have been on the celebration pod. Like, Jalen actually wasn't that good.
Yeah, that's not true, Elliot. I did one post game of the little Go Birds podcast. Didn't mention Jalen once the last 2 minutes and said he was fine.
Yeah, that's right. The Ravens win.
Who could forget?
So, all right. Well, there it goes. It wraps up. The Eagles do their White House visit. Good job, Elliot.
Thank you.
Nice shot in the. What is that called? What is that? What's the, were you in a Rose Garden?
Yeah, the picture online?
Yeah,
I crushed that. Yeah.
Nice suit.
Thank you,
Nice.
I don't normally take good photos, so I was very happy with that one.
Well,
Thank you.
You didn't take it. Somebody else took it.
No, I meant like my eyes are closed or whatever, so I was happy.
Well, you had glasses on.
That's why I wear them.
Who took the photo?
Zach Berman of PHLY.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, no wonder it was looking up.
Oh, my God.
Got him! Got him!
Come on.
I love Zach. That was just right there.
That's why nobody likes us right now.
Yeah, this is like, I'm not going to be allowed in the media how soon because of you guys.
Well, I don't care if the beat writers like us. They can all.
I care a little bit.
Well, you know what? The difference between you and them is that you make news and they report what they're told. Okay. Yeah. All right. This is me saying it, not you.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, I wouldn't be mean to them if they weren't mean to us.
That's a good point.
They started.
How you defend us when you're out there? Yeah.
Trust me, I defend WIP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know you get all of them. You and your guys over there.
Yeah.
WIP.
Yeah. Exactly. This will be a great WIP topic. Like, yes, it's interesting.
Shut up.
Yeah.
How about this? Every time you tweet, I'm talking to you, the beat writer. Every time you tweet, so and so said on the radio station or something. Out of here. Out of here. 94.1 WIP. Yeah, don't add us.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have to write this article to the radio. Blah, 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 blah.
All right.
Yep. Out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Anyway, it was a nice photo of me, wasn't it?
Yeah. Moving on.
You can check it out on Instagram at Elliot Shore Parks.
All right. So we.
Toss it a like.
We. All right. Enough.
I mean, it's up over 700.
So, all right. Enough. We were just talking about Dallas Goedert.
Yes.
So. You reported early on, this isn't a gotcha thing. You reported early on they were looking to trade him. Clearly they were looking to trade him. They went in the draft clearly looking to trade him. I was very skeptical that they were going to be able to get anything from him. They end up not getting anything for him. And one of the teams that you had mentioned previously, the Colts, drafted a tight end. Yeah. They don't seem interested right now. I guess my question now, and we're just looking at the cap thing, is his cap number on the team is 11 and a half. His cap number, if they cut him before June 1st, is 21. His cap number, if they cut him after June 1st, is 9.5. It does not seem as if there is any gain to not having Dallas Goedert on the team at this point.
Right.
So now they tried, and the other thing that we had mentioned is that if they had wanted to cut him early in free agency and designate him as a post-June 1st cut, at least he has a chance to go make money. Mm-hmm. There's no chance for him to go make money
so,
now.
Two things on that. One, I think both sides are probably a little surprised at the, I don't want to say lack of interest, but like the fact that, I mean, you saw the report, the Eagles are willing to take picks, and well, now we're after the draft, but at the time in next year's draft. Everyone in the league knows Dallas is available. It's not like it's a secret. And I think at this point, the Eagles would probably take whatever they could get, like a fifth round pick for him that, you know, would have contingencies. So I think there's two things at play here as to why he's not traded. One, I understand looking at the cap number, but I think this isn't about the cap number. This is about the cash. This is another cash thing. So I think Dallas, I believe, if he plays out this year, has $14 million in non-guaranteed cash coming his way. Now, obviously, if he's on the Eagles roster, he's going to make that money. Like, they're not going to cut him in week 4. So in some ways, it's guaranteed, but it's not fully guaranteed. Now, this ties back to, like, the Chauncey trade, right? Like, when they traded Chauncey, it was, well, they did this because they save a lot of cash. Like, they're saving cash as opposed to cap space. With Goddard, it's not about the cap number. It's about the cash. So why is he not traded? I think because teams don't want to pay him probably what he's looking for. And so now, like, after, I mean, almost months of this, right? Like, I guess 2 months, however, like,
He's not going to get traded.
He might, but I could, well, because what could happen now is the draft just happened. So a team could sit there and go, okay, we wanted to draft a tight end. We didn't get a tight end. Let's reconvene and talk about what we can do at this position. OTAs are happening. Teams could have OTAs and after, you know, 2 weeks on the field of work being like, yeah, our tight ends aren't good enough. So I think he still could get traded, but the door that's starting to creep open is would he stay here at $5 million or $4 million. Like,
but what is his... Okay, so his motivation in that case would be, even if he gets cut, he's not guaranteed that money, whether it's on the cap or not.
That's my understanding
okay,
of it, correct.
Okay, all yes. right. So he would lose money if he were so cut, even though they would have the cap number there.
I think in some ways, and this is maybe a bit of a stretch, but like you could almost look at Goddard as a free agent. Like he is going to play for whoever will pay him the most money for the most part. Now, obviously, there's a trade component to this. So let's say the Chargers say, we'll give you $8 million a year for 3 years, right? That's probably more than the Eagles are willing to pay him, but like the Chargers would then have to come up with compensation. I just don't think the Eagles are going to look for much compensation. So I think the bigger roadblock to him being traded now is the financial aspect of it, and probably him not being valued around the league the way he probably feels he should be.
Yeah, I just think they're a better team with him on the team at this point. Like, you didn't get anything for him. Like,
yeah. Goddard's an interesting player because I agree Goddard is a very good tight end. He made huge plays for them last year. I also think if you remove, like, the name and just look at, like, the production, what do you have, 400 yards last year, 450 yards? Yeah. I mean, it was not he's not a massive part of the offense. So if you look at their offseason, I know they didn't draft a tight end, but drafting the tight end for me would have been more about the future than this year. I think this year they're okay with Harrison Bryant, Kylan Granson, Calcaterra, and they'll just piece it together. I mean, you don't think the three of them, they are not the player Goddard, to be clear, but Dallas is not a big part of the offense. He's a big blocker for sure, but they can get a big block.
He made some really big plays.
He did,
this
for sure.
Year.
His problem is. But it's only a handful of plays, for what it's worth.
His problem is A, staying healthy. B, his role in the offense isn't prominent.
Yep.
So he would almost need to be featured in the offense. So we look at George Kittle's contract he just got yesterday.
Right.
Well, he's the second biggest passing threat in the offense. Yeah. He's going to get the ball. And, you know, he may have to even get it more with Christian McCaffrey being older. But other than Brandon Ayuk, who else are they going to get the ball to in San Francisco?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the other, like, the Josh Sweat situation last year, people compare. It's like, well, why not just make it work like Josh did? Well, when Josh came back, he was basically guaranteed to be the starting edge rusher.
He's going to be the starter.
He's going to play a ton of snaps. He's going to be on a high-profile team. He's going to get a chance to earn more money. If I'm Goddard, like, this is my time is now. The only thing that's going to happen for Dallas in a year is he's going to be a year older. That's it. Like, Dallas, who you never know, he's not catching 1,000 yards next year. He just doesn't get enough targets.
I agree.
Not here. Right.
Not here. Yeah. If he went somewhere else, I think he could do it. But with the Eagles, he's not going to do it. So if I'm him, I don't know. I think the only benefit coming back to the Eagles if you're Dallas is, like, you live here already. You're comfortable. You'll have a chance to win. You know the offense. There's not, like, a change of lifestyle. But in terms of upping your value, he's not going to up his value in a year.
I tell you what, I don't know if I want to see him in New York now.
With the Giants, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, the Giants apparently had interest and then lost interest. Now, if you had it initially, you know, you could always circle back.
He'd be a good piece for them. Russ likes to
Russell
throw
Wilson,
ball to the tight end.
Yeah.
I'm watching these damn Giants. Sneaky.
Well, they're
sneaky.
We were saying on the post-draft show, their defensive front is formidable.
It's very good. Mm-hmm.
They have a number one wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They have a good running back. The guy they drafted is a good Singletary, I think his last name is.
They brought him over from Buffalo.
Yeah, good running back.
Mm-hmm.
They have a stable quarterback, at least. One would imagine Russell Wilson is at least passable this year.
He's
would
way
be
better
my guess.
Than what they got last year, too.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Their issue is the offensive line.
I don't need them getting Dallas Goedert.
And that's the offensive line's been their issue. Now,
And if it's bad, like the rest of it doesn't really matter.
I agree. They lost their best offensive lineman 3 games into the season last year. So, but they could.
I'm just saying, I'm watching them. They're sneaky.
They're not going to be pathetic this year. I think they could be an 8-1
I don't need
team.
To get them Goddard.
Yeah, well, look, they have a good defensive line for sure. And the other thing, not that this I think would like add to their win total, but if we were, let's say they had a radio station in New York that talked about sports, right? Like
barely exists.
That's what I'll, exactly.
For about a year ago, they were strong.
they've fallen off.
Fallen off.
Like, I think Goddard's a smart acquisition from them purely from like a cultural standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, he's coming from a winning organization. He's had
rival.
Big playoff games. Yeah. Like, they need guys in that locker room that have, like, and now Russell brings that. Russell's won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But guys that have won. So, yeah, I mean, I think if Dallas stays, he will be happy enough. But, like, I think it's probably hard after 2 months of, you know, and Dallas has friends on the team.
Used to.
No, I mean, I think he's
Maddox
still
is not here anymore.
Yeah, it's true. His boy is not here anymore. But
was Maddox his buddy?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you weren't here for all this.
Yeah.
No.
Oh yeah.
Really? They were roommates for
they
like 6 years.
For a few years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Who got married first? Goddard, right? Because one of them got married.
Is Goddard married? Are either of them married?
I think one of them.
I think
got
they
married.
Both have girlfriends, but
okay, maybe that's what it is.
But they don't live together.
Yeah, they don't live together anymore.
Yeah.
Elliot, we started the show off. Like, I said I was disappointed in the Eagles' offseason, in that they're worse coming up this year. And I, after winning the Super Bowl, I was like, let's go get another one. Like, in for the kill, blah, blah. Like, The Eagles are, the roster definitely isn't as good as last year. Are you a little, forget about, I know you're not going to say disappointed. Are you a little surprised, I guess, looking now that the offseason is essentially over, there were no, they lost a lot of contributors. They didn't really add a for sure contributor. They added some chances. They didn't. Are you a little surprised at the extent to which this offseason has been as extreme as it has
definitely
been?
Definitely. I'm very surprised at the longest view in the room approach they're using. I thought it would be much more like, you know, we got a chance to win it next year. Let's go. And they will still have a chance to win it. But it is surprising to me that you hear a lot more about 2026 and 2025 when they make these moves. So that's surprising. And I think disappointed is probably a fair word. I would maybe use underwhelming more just because they didn't really do anything. I don't think there's not a move they made that I thought, why are they doing this? Right. I was fine not paying Josh Sweat, Milton Williams. I was never a huge Chauncey guy. I get that was the surprise move. So there hasn't been a move where I'm what in the world is going on
it's
here?
It's just been collectively. Just,
but there also hasn't really been a move where you're this is really going to help the team next year. I like Azeez Ojulari. You know, we'll see. I like the Campbell pick, but we'll see. I don't think there's been a move now Bryce didn't work out, obviously. But Bryce Huff and Saquon, you saw those moves and you were okay, these guys will be awesome for them next year.
Yeah, you guys
and there hasn't been those moves.
You guys can't see the trees through the forest.
I think I said that for years.
Yeah. No.
That's not correctly.
The forest for the trees.
Yeah. That's what I said. Yeah. I'm bad at expressions. That's what I said.
There's no difference. You're right. I agree with you.
The point that I'm making is they are going to win this year because of their offense. They have a high-powered, star-studded offense.
Mm-hmm.
Telling me that we lost Josh Sweat and Milton Williams and Slay and C.J. Gardner-Johnson is the reason why we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. Had I told you they would be gone, you wouldn't say, this is the reason why we're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree.
They were, to me, a product of the system and a collection of talent here. We didn't lose an all-pro end. We didn't lose an all-pro corner. We didn't lose an all-pro defensive tackle. He was a rotational
I agree with you 100%. This is why when everyone keeps going, they've lost so much talent on defense. I just don't agree with that. But
I had a star-studded offense.
But I think both things are true.
Had we lost AJ, then I would say, no shot to win the Super Bowl.
Well, they might have Abdul Carter if they did that. But, yeah.
Well, it just next year is squarely on number one. It just is. Next year is on number one.
The prove it year.
But last year was also on number one. And you can say it wasn't. But
just won the damn Super Bowl. What are you talking about? Prove it.
Proved you can play two games.
What are you talking about? Prove it year. You just won the Super Bowl.
Of course it's a prove it year.
Of course it's a prove it year.
It's not a prove it year.
You guys prove it year.
You guys see the forest of the trees.
Yes. It's of course a prove it year.
Welcome back. It is Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack Fritz in for Spike Eskin today as he is moving. And we are lucky enough to be joined by Executive Vice President and General Manager Howie Roseman, someone who handles pressure very well. Howie, how's it going today?
How we doing, guys?
Doing great, Howie. How are you feeling, man? It's been a busy offseason for you coming off the draft. Just a quick overview. I know you've talked about the draft and the draft picks this past weekend. But for us, just your thoughts on what you guys were able to address and whether or not you feel good about coming out of the draft, addressing some of the things you felt you wanted to get addressed in this draft.
Yeah, the draft, you're competing with 31 other teams. So it's never going to be perfect. You know, you're always going to lose players that you wanted to draft because you're subject to what everyone else does. And in terms of how you're feeling, I'm feeling like we got to get these guys in here and develop them. You know, that's the most important thing, what they do now. However good we felt after the draft ended, none of it matters. All that matters is how they go play. And so that's where we're at right now. That doesn't mean we're not excited about the potential of these guys. But right now, you know, Ike, that's what it is. It's potential. And they got to turn that into production.
You often talk about how the offseason is always evolving, right? It's not just free agency. It's not just a draft. It's different waves of this thing. As you guys get prepared for your rookie mini camps and your OTAs, I know you guys still keep your eye open for what's happening around the league and what may become available. But when you look at the young guys you got on your roster, particularly on the defensive side of the football, you feel good about going into these early camps and getting a chance to see if these guys can be able to possibly grab a starting position when you look at some of those key spots on the defensive side.
Yeah, you know, I think we're really fortunate that we don't have a lot of open spots on our football team, and that's a great credit to the players that we have in here. Really got a young defensive football team, with a lot of players who played championship caliber football. So that's exciting. You know, you're not worried about going into a season and worried about pressure moments with these guys, because a lot of these guys have won world championships. A lot of the guys that we brought in here have kind of championship pedigree. And so that makes you excited that it won't be too big. And then, you know, I know from my perspective and hopefully our fans' perspective, knowing that, you know, we have two guys on our defense who are older than 25 years old. You know, that is unbelievable. That's really exciting. And you know, I'm biased, but I do think it's not just because they're young, but they're good players. So we look forward to that. I think we added a lot of competition. I think we're fast on defense, and I think we got a heck of a defense coordinator. And, you know, all that being said, that's how it looks on paper. We got to put it together. We got to work really hard. We got to be prepared to defend our championship starting with that Thursday night game at Lincoln Financial Field.
Howie, I know the draft class is still new, but I guess if you had to describe this class in what word would you use to describe them?
Yeah, I think that's unfair. I probably could go through each player and give you a one-word description of each player, but, you know, I'd hate to generalize, you know, our whole class based on one word, because they're different players. They're different flavors, you know. Everyone we got, they're different positions, and they all have different strengths, you know, and that's how I kind of look at it. Like, you know, what are the things that these guys can do really well? And then there's a bunch of areas that we got to develop, because, you know, we forget these guys are 21, 22, 23 years old, changing cities, coming into a different profession with grown men, performing for their family. So we got to develop them as well. And I think that's the exciting part. I think we have the right people to do that. And I think these guys have the tools in their body and the right mentality to want to be developed, which is a big part of development.
You guys certainly replenish talent, Howie, in a lot of different areas. We talked about on the defensive side of the ball, even added depth late in the draft with the offensive line, which you guys typically do as far as getting guys developed. I was a little surprised the tight end position wasn't necessarily addressed in the draft kind of early based on some of the things that we've heard about what could potentially happen. So I won't beat around the bush with you. Dallas Goedert is a big question mark for a lot of the fans wanting to know what his future is going to be like being here. Are you guys any further along as far as deciding what that's going to look like as far as him being here or not moving forward?
Yeah, I think you get into trouble when you just go into a draft and say, I got to get a position. You know, I've done that before and it never works out really well. So you really want to be consistent with what you have on the draft board. And every time we were picking, a guy stood out, you know, that it was higher graded than where our selection was. At times that we had multiple guys like that, we just moved back, you know, picked up more picks because, you know, the more picks you have, the more chance you hit on them. And you talked about the offensive line. You know, we typically would like to go into draft and take offensive linemen higher. We didn't do that. But when we got to the third day, we saw guys that we thought had real potential, and that's what they are right now, potential, because of the tools in their body and what we saw on film. And so we took not only one guy, not only two guys, but we also had another guy in free agency after the draft that we liked. So, you know, I think, and that just increases and hitting on your odds that you're not just putting one guy in a basket and hoping that guy hits. In terms of the tight end position and Dallas, I would say this, you know, it's I'm looking at my phone, so it had to take me a second. It's Thursday, May 1st. It's freaking May 1st. It's May 1st. I promise you one thing. We are not going to stand pat between now and when we play on Thursday Night Football. And I think that includes all positions. So I'm going to give you an answer without giving you an answer, and you're going to have to read it from there.
Sounds great. Now, one guy that Eagles fans are excited about is Jahad Campbell. And I got two questions for you on Jahad. First, do you view him more as an edge that can play linebacker or a linebacker that can play edge?
You know, right before I got on this call, they said Jahad was outside my office. He wanted to come say hello. we are going to love this player and this person in Philadelphia. I couldn't be more excited that we were able to get him in this draft last week. And when you ask that question, I'd say yes.
Of course, of course. And, you know, obviously the only reason it seems like he was there was because of shoulder and knee concerns. I know you won't get into detail about the injuries, but I guess what would you say to Eagles fans who are concerned about some multiple injuries happening here with Jahad Gamble?
Yeah, I mean, a huge part about playing in the NFL is being durable and being able to play a lot of games. That's a huge part of what we look at when we're drafting guys. There's no chance that if he wasn't coming off of off-season shoulder surgery that he would have been within a distance for us to go get because he's that talented of a guy. I think that over the last couple of years, our medical staff has proven their success with guys. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but we were very confident even when we thought he was just a top 10 player in the draft and we wouldn't come close to him about how he would be. I don't even want to say long-term, because when long-term, I think long-term, I think of this player playing for us 3, 5, 7 years from now, which we're all confident here that he'll do. But even in the short term, you know, I think for our fans, this is what I would say. I'd say, in a situation, and I'm not saying this is apples to apples, but last year we drafted Coop in the second round. Coop didn't play till the week of our last preseason game. I mean, it's hard to remember, but he didn't start until week 6, which was really our 5th game. How did that work out? You know, and so I think we can be a little patient here. And make sure that this guy is right, and because that's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure he's right, that we are going to have a heck of a player for the Philadelphia Eagles for a long time.
Yeah, and you got it. Everybody's pretty much excited about him, local kid. So that certainly is someone that we're all looking forward to rooting for. Howie, you mentioned earlier about the youth on that side of the football, the defensive side of the football. And yesterday you guys picked up the 5th-year option for Jordan Davis. Jordan certainly finished off the season much stronger than he started the season. First question on that with him, the decision to pick up that 5th-year option, why did you guys do it? And then secondly, his development, watching him develop through the first 3.5 years of his career going into his 4th season, how has that been going according to your evaluation, and where do you guys expect him to be moving forward?
Well, like, I think if I answer the second part, the first part's going to be easy.
Okay.
When you watch Jordan and how he looked the second half of the season, and that's a big part of it, how he looked.
Mm-hmm.
He was in great physical condition and shape. He was disruptive during the playoff run. We forget, again, like, players still develop. You know, when you look at the history of defensive tackles in the National Football League, you see a lot of really successful guys that people forget took to year 3 and 4 to really hit their stride. And we think he is just hitting his stride. This guy is going to play really good football for us here. He's an unbelievable person, worker, leader. And I think the sky's the limit for him. I think that, you know, he feels it, and he's got tremendous confidence. And I'm excited for our fans to understand why we thought it was a really easy decision for us to pick up the option.
So, Howie, on Monday, we are honoring Brandon Graham on 5-5, of course. It's BG Day here on the station.
That's awesome.
What's it going to be like without him like on the team, obviously, every day? I think he'll be around the NovaCare. He's not going anywhere. But
for sure.
What are we losing from that standpoint? And do you have a favorite Brandon Graham story for us?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we've had some great players here that I've been fortunate to be around, including one I'm interviewing with right now. but the relationship that BG and I have is special because, obviously, first pick for me as a GM. And, you know, really, a lot of times I feel like our careers kind of paralleled each other. You know, there was a time where it wasn't so much fun for either of us here in Philadelphia, and we kind of fought through it together. And, you know, obviously BG making that play in the Super Bowl was incredibly special for our fans, for our team, and for me personally, obviously. And so you know, that we've had a lot of these guys. I can't tell you that I have a favorite because, you know, all of them mean an incredible amount to me. That would be like picking a favorite kid, which I do have some days of the week. And I think that, you know, it's just a special relationship that we've had and just a lot of conversations, a lot of support for one another. Not only do I feel like I've had his back, but I feel like he's always had my back and been tremendously confident in what I'm going to do. I mean, you know, you talk about that group of Kelsey and Fletch and BG and Lane, and, you know, throughout all those changes, they always believed. They always believed we would get it right here, and I never took that lightly. You know, I always felt special that they believed in that and felt an obligation to do whatever I could to make sure that they were as successful as possible. So in terms of BG's story, you know, I got a lot of them. I'm not sure they're suitable for this call right at this moment. But let me think about that, and maybe on BG Day, I'll unveil one.
It is remarkable, Howie, just listening to you recant sort of that journey. You know, you coming in 2010, BG, your first round draft pick there, the way the careers parallel to each other. Early in BG's career, he dealt with injuries. He dealt with not necessarily being productive. Coach Reed was on the station yesterday, and he talked about, you know, some maturity things that BG sort of worked his way through early in his career. I'm interested from your part of, you know, in those earlier years, tough discussions being had by you and whether it was Coach Reed, Jeffrey, about moving forward with BG. I'm wondering what they're like those first 4 or 5 years when he isn't as productive as expected. Was there ever a time where it was like, man, do we move on from him or we're sticking with him? I'm wondering, did you guys ever have those type of moments where you had to have those type of discussions?
You know, as a young GM and as your first pick, and at the time you had a couple of players that everyone thought we should draft over him.
Earl Thomas, yeah, all that.
KPP.
Yeah.
He got hurt in 2010, and he was kind of coming back in 2011. And in 2011, as he came back, you know, there was a game that we played in Miami. And I want to say at the time we were 4-8, and he was inactive. And, you know, him and I had a conversation in Miami, which was basically like, you know, if you're going down, I'm going down too, you know. And you and I are going to be in it together because if you're not going to be successful, I'm not going to be successful. There's no way I'm going to be able to make it in Philadelphia without you being successful. And we shared a moment, you know, and I guess that would be my story. And I'll never forget being in Miami, me and him eye to eye, and in typical BG fashion, he looked at me with a big smile and said, I got you. You know, I'm not sure I believed it at the moment. I mean, I was hopeful. But he did. And, you know, I feel like we've had each other's back. And, you know, how we do things in Philly, they're not for everyone. You know, I get it. You know, but we're close with our players, and that doesn't mean that we can't make hard decisions. That doesn't mean that we have to sometimes. But that guy's a friend for life, and yeah, I'm just couldn't be more proud of the person he is, the player he is, and two-time world champ. Beautiful thing to say.
Yep.
Man, it's just all time. It's just crazy. We're about to head into a year next year without, I mean, I know Kelsey retired last year and Fletch retired last year and Lane's still there, but an Eagle season without BG, Fletch, and Kelsey for the first time in seemingly forever.
15 years, yeah.
Forever.
Those are my security blankets. Thank gosh I got Lane, and, you know, I think that what our fans, and we miss those guys, you never replace legends. You never replace them, and so we'll never be able to do that. But I'm proud of the guys that we have here, and I do think that we have such a core group of great players and great people. And, you know, that's really the job that I have, you know, make sure that our fans look on the field and say, man, that's a great player and that's a great person. That's a great player and that's a great person. And compete for championships. That'll be an important thing for us, too. You know what I'm saying, Ike?
Yeah, listen, I hear you, man. I hear you. It's funny because we have you on to talk so much about your team that you build and the things around it. We rarely talk about you
per se. And I know you don't necessarily like to be talked about in that light, but you deserve a lot of credit. You talked about some of the things that you had to go through rough times here as well, and has bounced back with 3 Super Bowl appearances and 2 championships under your resume, putting together a pretty good resume. And I know you got a lot of work to still do, and I'm not retiring you or anything of that nature.
But, hell no.
Please,
but,
no.
But I do wonder for you, do you still have that same sort of love and energy to want to do this for many, many years? You're still a young man.
You haven't been around NovaCare very much, have you? You haven't. Yeah. I will tell you something. I couldn't be more motivated and more determined to have another parade through Broad Street where I don't get hit in the head. I feel like I only enjoyed half of that parade.
By the way, how's that going? Did you recover okay from that?
But I will tell you, I love this team, this city, my job so much. The day that I can't give you every single ounce of myself is the day I won't be here anymore. And you know, obviously, I don't get to decide that anyway, but... I will never do that, and I couldn't be. I feel like all these experiences have made me better. I continue to learn, and I'm continuing to hope that you know, everything that we do leads to more world championships. You know, they become addicting; they really do. And the confetti falling, it really gets you in a mode where nothing else matters. And so, for me, I think I'm in this mode right now of just. Whatever it takes to get back, and whatever we got to do to keep getting back there. And it makes me proud that our fans can say, you know, I felt after the first one there was a lot of, you know, they got lucky, the run. Like, that's what I heard. You know, I don't know what you said. That's what I heard in my mind, and that's what I can make. You know, now we're at 2, and what are you going to say? You know, are we lucky twice? I don't think so. But I'll tell you what, 3's a charm.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, the fans, they are mirroring your sort of energy that you have right now, because they certainly are hungry for another one. We enjoy those parades. We had a great time this past year, and certainly look forward to doing it real soon. Before I get you out of here, man, what's next for you? What do you do now? Like you get to take a little bit of a break here? What do you get to do next?
This week, you know, we get to look at these guys on the field, which is so much fun. We're in the middle of our off-season program. Love watching our players working. And then, yeah, you know, we'll get a little break here after June. We'll get another chance to celebrate. We'll get those rings. And I would say this to our fans, you know, and it's really a reminder to myself, too. We do got to enjoy being world champions. We do got to enjoy that and being able to stick out our chest and being the best in the world, because that's special too. And so I'm gonna really try, because I don't know that I've done a good job of that, because of just kind of the run that we've been on here with free agency and losing players, which hurt, and then the draft. But I'm gonna try to take the next couple of months here and enjoy every second of it. And you know, be really proud of the accomplishments that we had, and at the same time, looking forward about making more accomplishments happen.
Yeah, because how are we supposed to explain to the younger generation that it used to not be this easy? You know, like I got a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old. Like, do I got to show them the Rondé Barber interception and understand that what we had to go through to get to this moment? I mean, these kids are spoiled these days, Howie. You spoiled an whole generation of Eagles fans.
Yeah, well, I see that. You know, I see it. You know, sometimes I see it that, you know, we lose a player and everyone's upset, but I promise you, we're going to do everything we can to get back. There's no resting on laurels. That doesn't mean we can't be proud. That doesn't mean we can't really stick out our chests and know that we're 2-time world champs. When I saw those 2 trophies with BG and him holding them, I mean, that gave me chills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got 2 quick hitters for you, Howie, before I let you go.
Okay.
How much does it pain you to keep drafting these Georgia and Bama kids and no Gators? I mean, we got to get a Gator for you.
You know, I did get a Gator, an undrafted free agent.
Nice.
There you go.
You know, Montrell Johnson. You know, I think at the end of the day, here's the most important thing. I think Nolan Smith said it right. I just want to win.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't care where they come from. They come from Toledo. They come from Georgia. They come from Florida. They come from Alabama.
Michigan State.
Whatever it is. Michigan State. Team, yeah. That's the most important thing. What did you say, Ike?
I said Michigan State.
I knew you were going to say that.
Come on, man.
Hey, Ben Van Summer,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, BVS,
really
baby.
Good,
I know. What a guy. Give me a second one.
All right. So Elliot Shore Parks won Eagles Insider of the Year on this show. Do you think he was worthy of that this year? Think he was the number one Eagles Insider?
Well, I'll tell you what. I can honestly say this, and Bob will say, I don't have social media. With all due respect to the people I'm listening to, I don't listen to anything, so I have no idea what that means. I would say this. I would say the best insider that I know, you're talking to him right here.
You want to
hear what's going on with the Eagles? Let's talk to me. Let's talk. I'll tell you the truth.
All right. We'll have you on every week then. Sounds good. All right. I'm just kidding.
Two goes. I appreciate you guys.
All right, thanks, Howie.
Appreciate the time,
happy,
Howie.
Happy BJ Day on May 5th. That's a special thing.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you, Howie.
There he goes, Howie Rosen.